Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. It's Wednesday night, so give me just a moment. We'll be right back. All right, good to be here, everybody. Wonderful. It's Wednesday night. I'm going to be praying over everybody and stay on the show long enough. Go from one call to the next, without any in-betweens after we do a little ministry here. And, all right, good to be here. All right, let's keep going here. Let me get on. All right, now we're here and ready. Appreciate it. Good to be with you tonight. Hope everyone's doing really well. If you're not, we're going to be praying for you. We're going to pray for everybody tonight. So just hang on. We'll be there eventually. You can always call in early if you'd like. Get in at 15 minutes early. We open the show at 9 o'clock. You can get going in at 8:45. So if you don't know that, now you do. All right, just call that same number. Call 15 minutes early, and it gets you in line first, and or up front first. And maybe if you get different time zones, some people call in later. So you just never know. All right, so there you go. I'm just letting you in on that little secret. For those who don't know. All right, welcome, everybody. Wednesday night. Wow, I've been going at it all day long, and very interesting, all kinds of things happening, getting things done, leaving God to work things through, and believe Him to work the things through the correct way. You know, if you come out on the other end, on the wrong side of the equation or whatever, if you don't let God show you what's happening. It can mess with you a little bit, right? Yeah. All right. All right, you know, sometimes if God knows that a circumstance or situation can benefit you more by it continuing, He's going to let it do that. Sometimes some of us are pretty tough, and it takes a lot to break us. So I think that God sometimes wants to, he wants us more broken and yielded than he does comfortable. Kind of a hard thing with between us and God, because it's kind of like, wow, how can that be? You know, I mean, doesn't God want us to be comfortable and blessed? Well, the main thing he wants us to be is blessed. And blessed really means yielded to him so he can do what he wants. The biggest thing God wants to do is what he wants. We got to realize that. It's not just he rewards us for everything, no doubt about it. There's lots of rewards that God has for us because our incentive, you know, is to, you know, be rewarded. It's just part of who we are. And so when we learn that God wants us to be yielded to him and whatever it takes to do that, you may have one area of your life that's really difficult. You haven't yielded it yet for whatever reason. Only God knows. But if he chooses to let some giant thing or some big thing or something you consider a giant, if he allows that to keep messing with you, there's a reason for it. The same thing happened with Paul. You know, sometimes there's things that benefit us. You know, like Paul, we all try to get rid of it. Right? I mean, that's the first thing we think about doing. Paul did the same thing. He was, I think Paul was pretty close to God, pretty knowledgeable, pretty wise. And he tried to get rid of it, you know. He said, I prayed 3 times and to get rid of that thorn, and it didn't go away. And so it was like he considered it like a demon, even. You ever thought some of your circumstances like demonic? Let's look at that scripture just for a second. All right, let's go over here and look at this for a second and see if I click it. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Not a real popular message, I'm sure. But God is interested in us knowing the truth, and he is in us being comfortable, right? Yeah, I think so. All right, 2 Corinthians 12:9. All right, I think I got it. All right, thorn in the flesh. Lest I should be exalted, Paul says, above measure, by the abundance of revelations. See, what's God doing right here? He's protecting the revelation by keeping Paul from spoiling it. So God is more interested in getting you where you can be used by him than he is by making you comfortable. So the sooner we yield to that, the sooner that we, you know, let God have his way, you know, and the sooner, the better things are going to be, that's for sure. All right, and the sooner we're going to get free of our stuff. Watch this thing. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. See, the purpose is by the abundance of revelation. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So what was it, what was God protecting here with the thorn? It was just, lest he be exalted, right? Because he got so much revelation, he got an abundance of it, and that he says, unless I should be exalted above measure, in other words, beyond, I'd be exalted beyond what, you know, is really real. So he says, you know, God gives him a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. That's twice he says, lest I be exalted above measure, because in the very beginning, verse 7, that I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. And then it said right toward the end of that, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he's really trying to make the point, lest I be exalted above measure. Right? So concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord. How many of you know what that word pleaded means? Because we do it, right? Yeah, we plead with God to change it. And, you know, in other words, trying to get rid of it. We've talked about this many times, trying to get rid of it, trying to get rid of it, trying to bind up this thing, cast it down, ask God to take it out, move it out of our way. And Paul said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. What department from him? This thing that God was using to keep him from being exalted above measure. He was trying to get rid of that. Well, she didn't know what it was at first, right? Yeah, concerning it, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart. In other words, get rid of this thing. Get this thing out of my life. This is messing with me. I can't be comfortable because what was God doing? He was saving Paul from boiling himself to keep him from falling away or getting somehow messed up to where he couldn't receive that revelation. Because God's purpose for Paul was revelation. He was a revelation man. Right? He did a lot of things. He had a lot of stuff going on. But one of the biggest things that he did in writing a lot of the New Testament was the revelations. And he got an abundance of them. And they were just so much. He just, you know, they put him in jail. God had him put in jail so he could spend time just focusing on it. You feel like God was doing, I've had God do that with me. Not in jail, but something close to it. You know, yeah. So you have to find out what you're in jail for, or what you're being kind of secluded for, and or, you know, whatever you want to call that, and figure out what you're there for and start doing it. Just the sooner you get it done, the sooner you're going to get out. Right? But God wasn't going to allow him to get out of prison and or jail, whatever your situation is, until the thing God wanted accomplished was accomplished. And God told him, after he pleaded with him three times, get rid of this thing, get rid of this thing. When's this thing going to end? He says, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution. He takes pleasure in it. Praise in all things. Right? He said, therefore, I take pleasure. My God, this guy's like a weirdo. He takes pleasure in infirmity. Oh, come on, man. This can't. We gotta get this out of the Bible. I think Kenneth Copeland tried to get this out of the Bible a long time ago. We need to get this out of the Bible. Because it's just messed up, right? Because if you believe, you know, doctrinally, if you believe that this is a similar thing to what it obviously is, then you're going to be trying to, you know, you're going to think that it's Satan messing with you and trying to keep you from being really blessed, which is what Copeland used to say. It, exalted by measure means that you should be really, really used big time, which just has nothing to do with that. It has to do with getting a big head, really playing. All right, so therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities. Why? So that the power of God will rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I tell you, I don't know if I take any pleasure in my infirmities. I don't even know what infirmities I have. I have any. I'm not sure exactly what an infirmity is there. The infirmity won't be the original text, but let's see what it says. Infirmity, physical or mental weakness. Very sick. Old age. Oh, my God. Good thing I'm not old yet. That would be bad. All right. Old age and infirmity come to men and women alike. The infirmities of old age. I don't know. I bind that up. But I think it's partially true. You do get a little bit slower, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm still going pretty fast, actually. But I just want to have a rest good. That's my key. All right, so infirmities are physical or mental weakness. frailty, weakness, feebleness, enfeeblement, delicacy, fragility, debility, debilitation. Watch this one. Decrepitude. Disability. Oh, man, he's like making me feel weak. Wow. I think I'm trying to get out of this. All right, so that's what Paul's trying to do. He's trying to get out of it. All right, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I don't know. And pleasure in reproaches. Pleasure in having need. It's what he says. I take pleasure in it. And he's a lot further along than I am, I have to admit. Oh, my God. I take pleasure in persecution to a certain degree. I do. I can say I do that. I kind of enjoy that sometimes. Yeah. Rejection sometimes doesn't bother me too much. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, take pleasure in reproaches. Let's look at reproaches. He's taking pleasure in this stuff, y'all. Does he sound like a pervert to you? God. what is going on with this man? He's like crazy. Right? All right. Address someone in such a way to express disapproval or disappointment or reproach. Reproaching for his failure to tackle the deficiency. Reproach means to address somebody in a way to express disapproval or disappointment. Wow. I kind of understand that one a little bit. Yeah. Wow. Disapproval, disappointment, approached, reprove, scold, chide, reprimand, admonish, chastise, upbraid, demonstrate. Demonstrate with, berate. I think I've read enough of that one. I've had enough of this scripture already. God, I'm trying to stop reading it, but I can't help it. Therefore, I take pleasure in all this stuff. The needs, when he's needy, he takes pleasure in it. In persecution, now I kind of get up on that one a little bit. In distresses, you know, distresses are, let's look that up, see what that is real quick. All right, extreme anxiety, sorrow or pain. Distress is extreme anxiety, sorrow, or not just a little bit of anxiety, extreme. Sorrow or pain, right? Anguish, suffering, pain, agony, ache, affliction. I think I'm dealing with some of that right now. For Christ's sake, I take pleasure in all these nasty things, these ugly things, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. Well, if you want to be strong, you know, and I know sometimes when God is about to make me strong, it's because he allows me to be, you know, hit by whatever it is, different things. You know, it happens to me. You know, I get, I'm sure it does everybody, but like I get attacked in some way, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, get an attack, you go through a thing. And, you know, because I know he's trying to weaken me so that I can hear something that I wouldn't normally hear. Sometimes you get weakened and you go through a hard time. When I go through a hard time, and I've kind of learned this, some of you probably have too, that when I'm under a lot of attack, and it seems like it's just coming out of the woodwork and what's going on is something crazy. It's really obvious something's going on, right? Though you don't always know what it is. You just think, well, you know, I kind of, the thought goes through my mind several times that, you know, God's making me weak and vulnerable so he can show me something awesome. Literally, I mean, I've said that many times in the last several years. Yeah, I think several years would be a good statement. Yeah, you know, feeling down, feeling out, feeling like, you know, things are going. I talked with Donald last night, he was talking about that a little bit, and then out of his mouth came this awesome revelation. That was so cool. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know, I thought that was awesome. Like when once Joseph saw it, saw the visions of God of what he's been doing for him, you can't unsee that. Like it gets stuck in you. You know, Donald was talking about that last night. That was really cool. I wish I had come up with that. It was awesome, man. It was great. I love it. All right. So he actually takes pleasure. Now, you know, I have to be honest with you, I haven't read this in a while. I'm a little bit taken back by this. Maybe you should read another version. Maybe it'll change the whole subject. We can just change the whole subject by going to another version, maybe it'll say, I don't take pleasure. That would be nice. You know, he's trying to bring a point out here. Okay, he's talking about the thorn of the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. A thorn of the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said that twice. I've never noticed that before either. Verse 7 says exalted above measure twice. That's a big thing. For Paul is very articulate. He's shaped and formed his sentences very well. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I plead with the Lord, get rid of this thing. Get me out of this. He said to me, my grace, my unmerited favor is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So in other words, just like with me, what I'm saying, sometimes when I'm under attack, it seems like, you know, for unnecessary reasons, you know, not anything really makes any sense. It's like I just feel like I'm being attacked. You know, instead of attacking back, it's like, oh, who's doing this to me? What is going on? You know, that's what I used to do all the time. And sometimes it can be that a little bit, but many times it's more of just, I just realize whether somebody's attacking me, it doesn't matter who or why. We are trying to find out who's doing this so we can stop it. Paul just said, hey, he didn't worry about who did it he tried to stop it, right? So he probably was wondering who was praying against him or whatever. But he said, you know, the Lord just said, hey, here's the point, Paul, about all this, but trying to figure out who's messing with you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So when you're feeling weak and overtaken and overwhelmed, that's when God, you know, makes you strong. But I tell you, honest to God, every time I feel like this is going on with me, I never get happy about it. Well, I do, at least I'm trying to be honest as I can here. I do think it's cool because I think God's going to show me really cool, really something really nice, really cool, really powerful. And it usually does. I don't know that I could just show the process every time, but generally speaking, it seems like, many times it's happened exactly like that. Because the more weak and more vulnerable you feel, that means you can't fight it. What was Paul doing? He was strong. He was fighting this thing. And the more weaker he got, the more open he became to God speaking through him and to him about new things he had never learned before. Right? Because he says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. What's making him weak? The thorn. The thorn's making him weak. So how can you say the thorn's, I've heard different people say different things. God didn't send that on him. That was an attack of the devil. Well, then why is the Lord saying my grace is sufficient for you if he says, you know, if that's the case? Like you're going to bind. So if you find out it's the devil messing with you, you're going to bind the devil. That's what some people teach. When God's answer to Paul was my grace, my unmerited favor is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So in other words, God is saying, hey, all this stuff that whatever you're trying to get rid of, you think the devil, and I would never send this thing to you to humble you. Yes, a lot of people say, Copeland said that for years. Maybe he still does, I don't know. So if God's not involved in it, why would God say, my grace is sufficient for you and my strength is made perfect in weakness? He was explaining to him, Paul, I'm making you really strong, but I have to, you're so strong-willed. You're so whatever. I got to break you, man. And when I break you, I'm able to remake you. When I remake you, I make you strong. And to me, that's what he's saying. To me, it's real obvious. This is not some attack of the devil without God's permission. Why would God say that? Okay, Paul, he was orchestrating this so he wouldn't be prideful. All right. Look at verse 7 in other versions. Let's go and boast and know that there's nothing to gain. What? Oh, it's what one. All right. Because of these surpassing great revelations. All right. For even if I wanted to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking. I'd be speaking the truth if I boasted. But I refrain so no one will credit me with more than he sees in me and hears from me. Or because of these surpassing great revelations, so to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Torment. Whoa. That's a heavy word. So, y'all, however you look at the thing, this is definitely God saying, you know, in this thing, I'm weakening you so that I can be strong through you. You think there's a big difference between being tested and being broken? Like being broken is on a different level. Well, I think, I really don't know if I know the answer to that. right off the bat. Good question, though. Do I think that there's a big difference between being tested and being broken? Like, being broken is on a different level, Shannon asked that. You know what? I couldn't answer that. I wish I could. I've got to look into it and pray about it, but it sounds interesting for sure. I really don't know. Probably so. I can't say. Well, I have to remember that question. That's a great question. All right. So with Paul here, we know that what this thing is, this is not, he's not being tested. He's being strategically hit so that he will be humble. In this particular case, he's being strategically hit because he said, and the reason we know he's being strategically hit is because he said, to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. So why would Satan torment him so he wouldn't be prideful? Wouldn't Satan want, you think Satan would leave him alone? He was just on his own, you know? I mean, wouldn't Satan want him to be prideful? Satan would like all of us to be prideful. So why would he say, so to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded that God would take it away. Well, that sounds like what I've prayed many times. So he's saying here, right here, so amazing. He says, so to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. So Satan would want him arrogant, right? Satan just want to, why would Satan want to torment you to humble you, so you can be nice and humble for God to use you more? No, I mean, it's like, see, this is what is really weird about this thing, is that Satan wants him to be exalted. Satan would love for Paul to be conceited and lose his connection to his revelation. That's what Satan would want. So God was orchestrating this. Verse 6, even if I wanted to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. I refrain so no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Or because of these surpassing great revelations, so to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. So again, think about that. Why wouldn't Satan want him to be arrogant and conceited? He would. That's exactly what the strategy of Satan is to get us arrogant and conceited. Satan's being used to keep him from being conceited. What does that look like to you? I mean, it looks like to me like, yeah. So God's orchestrating this thing. And three times we see the Lord take it away from him. God says, you know, I'm not going to take it away from you. It's going to help. It's helping you. So Satan was helping him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected. So power has to be perfected, right? Power's not just like one big zap and it's 220 all the way. Sometimes it's 110, and, you know, it's a good example of that. And God's trying to increase to 220 so you can run the warfare into fire in your life. Instead of hanging out the clothes, taking all day long, working hard. Throw it in the dryer, right? You can see a 220 and a 110. 110 to wash them and 220 to dry them. So, you know, he's saying here, for my power is perfected. God was saying to him, my power. So power can be perfected or matured. And it is done in weakness. In other words, when you're under attack, don't be whining and complaining too much. You know, just you can cry out to God, and God will probably say, hey, man, I'm trying to work something in you. Chill out. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. So he's got it, man. He's going like, I see what's going on now. I see what's happening here. Interesting. So whatever you're going through, it doesn't really matter how you want to think it, work it, whatever. The thing is that, you know, in this case, God had strategically allowed or sent a demon to torment him. It says torment. A messenger of Satan to torment me. So God sent something to torment him. You know, because Satan, you know Satan wants to exalt him. So if Satan would have been a strategic in this, he would have been trying to, he would have probably make it real easy for Paul and make everything real nice. And then Paul would have got exalted and conceited. That would have been the strategy that Satan by himself would have done, right? If I was a devil, isn't it what you would do if you were the devil? You wanted your enemy to be defeated? You think you'd be giving them a lot of hard time so they could be more humble and be more broken and be full more of the power of God? No. You'd be doing the opposite. You'd be making everything really easy, really nice. Just like Israel, when Israel got blessed, you know, they started getting cocky and arrogant. And, you know, so it's our flesh, everybody's flesh. It's pretty amazing, friend. So whatever you're going through, Paul says, I take joy in it. I take pleasure in it. That's really blowing my mind. I'm like, oh, my God. It's just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Love this stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're trying to get rid of your thing, kind of hope you can... When God's ready, when you're ready to be done with, just like somebody sent me his text last night about Babylon. God uses Babylon, and then when he gets through using Babylon, he judges them. That's true. It really is true. So when God gets through using, you know, the people in your life that are being used to torment you or trouble you, when the job is done and you accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, he's going to take care of them. That with Judas, same thing with Judas, when, you know, God used him to get him, get the priest to come to the Lamb, to offer up the Lamb. That was the whole purpose of all that. Right? And once he did his job, you know, God gave him over to himself, and he went out and killed himself. So the judgment came, but the thing is, if it's a job that the tormentor was doing to torment, the job was accomplished. Paul became broken. Paul became yielded. I don't know how long this lasted. But either way, very interesting. All right, so you got to think about that. You got to think about it. What am I going through? All right, so God wants to make you strong, and he'll do whatever it takes to get you there. If you have to use your best friend, your husband, your wife, it doesn't matter. Don't be trying to curse them. That's why the Bible says don't curse, but bless. Because as long as you're blessing them, when God's ready to take care of them, if they're not repenting or not wanting to get right or going to keep doing it, then God's going to, once God's finished the job in you, making you whatever he's trying to make you through the hard situation, if you let him, if you just keep on going around in circles and fighting, complaining, waking up every morning going, I can't. You know, I've done that many times. I mean, I know what I'm talking about, what I do, what I've done. Right? Anybody says they haven't done that a little bit is lying. Well, we learn. Some people do learn faster than others. They can say that. Absolutely. Oh, I never do that. I never. Going like, all right, man, cool. Bye. See you later. Yeah. See you on that next round. When you're passing by where I'm in my canyon land, you're really going around in circles again. We'll see you on the next round. Okay, bye. But that's what happens. Yeah. This is something I got to learn. Oh, Satan's been attacking. Praise God. Wow. Look what God might be trying to teach you. It's my favorite part of this is to turn this thing. I pleaded the Lord three times. Please take it from me. Yep, because I think Paul's a little bit on the weird side when he says, therefore I take pleasure. in my infirmities and reproaches and needs. I mean, this guy makes the list, and I don't think he's lying either. I mean, he must have really gotten broken here. And when I'm that broken, I'll let y'all know, but I'm not there yet. He actually took pleasure in it. I did take pleasure in some weird things, you know, being hated and rejected, you know. Yeah, but I don't know about all this other stuff. I got a ways to go. All right. Okay, let's get ready to minister over people tonight, to minister to people, prophesy over people. I'm going to grab me a water, be right back. Let's take callers tonight, see what's going on tonight. We pray over everybody, of course. So thank God for that. And okay. I hope everybody's doing good. If you're not doing good, we're going to be praying for you and believing God with you to be, at least understand what's going on, how you're, will be doing soon, something like that, and give you some encouragement and admonition. Amen. All right. We are here. Let's do it. I'll take my first call tonight. Let me tell you the callers, 202, first caller, 325, second caller, 214, after that, 3910, after that, 669, after that, 402, after that, 610, after that, 754, after that, 803, after that, 915, 929, after that, 804, 218, after that, 863, 808, after that, 803, 422, after that, 863, 605, after that, 847, 505, and then the rest of you guys can have your hand up. So we will take them as they go. All right, my first call is not 202-722. I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hey, Brother Randy, this is Daryl Paul and Nicole calling from Maryland and D.C.
Hey, congratulations to you guys on your new engagement.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
All right. I don't hear too much giggling. It's not good for the show. That was wrong. Chandler, that was wrong. No giggling on the show. Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Okay, God's going to help me. He's going to change me one of these days. I'm just waiting for the time. Honestly, it's like, wow. Okay. All right, you guys. Thank you, Lord, for our friends tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for Nicole, God, that you're, you know, you're talking about the power of God being perfected. I saw that scripture tonight, and, of course, you're my first caller tonight about this, and I just read it, and I went, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't think I realized that was there. That power gets perfected, Nicole. It's like, you know, your effectiveness, your power. Let me see what power means here. Let's see. Long one. Let's see. Must be a different version. Said my power is perfected, but my power being perfected, I want to stick with that. So I read that earlier. I know it's another version, but yeah, my power is perfected. It's like God's perfecting things with you, like maturing them. Like we go through stages of, you know, mature. We go through trials and tribulations and struggles and battles, and when we yield successfully, you know, the power of God becomes more perfected. Yeah, more matured, more stronger, more, you know, more potent. And so I thank you, Lord, for that with Nicole, God, that her effectiveness and her the ability to be potent, to be effective, that the power of God upon her is maturing. You know, some people, they never mature the power of God because they're always, you know, they're not really trying to grow in the Lord. They're just trying to, you know, be saved, and that's about all they want. Just glad they're saved, man. It was a good idea. But there's much more to that. And to those of us who really want God to perfect his power in us, you have to yield to him. And when you go through struggles and battles and hardships, you know, you learn to just give it to God. And our minds go all kinds of places. And yet we end up just like with some of our good friends in the Bible, you know, Job. His mind went all over the place. Like, why is this happening? What's going on? What's going on? But he came down. He perfected. He doubled his power. He doubled his blessing. It became perfected because he said, you know, though you slay me, yet I'm going to praise you, God. And I thank you, Lord, for Nicole and that happening in her life and perfecting that power in her in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for my brother, God, and thank you, Jesus, that Daryl, Paul, Father, that you that the growing, the growth, the things that have caused him to be humbled, that he looks back and he thanks God for those humbling times where things didn't go like he thought they were supposed to go, so he wasn't sure, so it humbled him. And this happens to all of us, and I thank you, Jesus, that with him, God, that he's humbled and thankful. The more humble you are, the more thankful you are, because you realize, you know, hey, man, I'm glad I didn't go that direction. I'm glad that didn't work out like that. I'm glad God didn't allow him. Thank you, Jesus. And the more humble we are, the more thankful we are. And I sense this humility and this thankfulness to God that he is, you know, kept you from, you know, just going different routes, you know, not bad routes, but just routes, a route to route. So thank you, Lord, for that humility you've been working in him, God, and that gratitude and thankfulness that he's watching over you, that you're protecting him, and that you're keeping him from any unnecessary sorrow, right? In Jesus' name, yeah. So a godly sorrow causes us to humble ourselves. That's what it does, godly sorrow. So we all need that, for sure. Godly sorrow is better than worldly sorrow, right? Godly sorrow causes us to be humble and to find more of God than we've ever known. Thank you, Lord, he's discovering more about you. Amen. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Oh, it's Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, good to have you tonight, my brother. Good Lord, for Chris, and thank you, Jesus, for this whole message tonight. I don't know, I may prophesize to everybody, I don't know, but about perfecting your power in him. See, that's the thing God's been doing in you, bro. I can tell just, you know, watching you, listening to you, you know, communicating with you at times by text and whatever, and seeing that excitement of, you know, God using you somehow or another, some way. And it's like, whatever you want to do, God. And, you know, I'm willing to do that. And so because you've been willing to let him do that in you, the power of God's been being perfected. It's been strengthened, being more, you know, when I'm weak, in other words, when I find myself, you know, needing God, arrogant people don't need God, right? So when you feel like you're needy and you're like, that's the most beautiful place to be. It's like, God, I need you. Where are you? What's going on? You know, it's not like we're backslidden or lost. It's that we're needy. And when you're needy, it keeps you from getting greedy. There you go. And needy keeps us from getting greedy. But needy causes us to need him. And when you need him, he loves it when we need him, Chris. You know that. He loves it when we need him. You know, what is it in the church that was rich and didn't and blind and naked and whatever? They were naked. They were naked. That was a funny-looking church. They're naked. Wow, the naked church. They thought they were fine. And he said, let me look that up. So anybody who thinks that they're all that, you know, like sometimes we all kind of go there a little bit. Let's see, let me go there. Let me find that name. Here we go. Be able to see in church. It's pretty cool. Let's see. Yeah, in Book of Revelation, Revelation 3:14. Let me go there for a second. Revelation 3:14. I'm going to get a Revelation of this, I think. Right, 3:14, here we go. All right, 3:14, to the lukewarm church. You know, this is what God is saying. He's showing you that, you know, your hunger and your need for him is the opposite of this, right? He said to show you what this does, he says that, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you in my mouth because you say I'm rich and have, here it is right here, because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy and have no need, have need of nothing, and do not know that you are hideous. they were naked. Okay, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. A little bit more than I remember, but yeah. So this is what happens, man. I sense this, you know, this neediness, like you just, you know, you just need, and that humility of knowing that God, you know, I've been out there in the wild, wild west. I know what it's like to, you know, be doing things on my own, trying to learn, trying to grow. And then I just sense this thing in you, this real neediness, like, you know, Jesus was the most needy person that I know. That's why he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that are needy. Blessed are those who don't always feel like they got it all together all the time, but they're questioning this and asking questions about that. And God goes, I love those questions. I'll answer any question you want. Because when we need him, Chris, that's what I'm feeling with you. Like, when I need you, Lord, he loves what we need him. Jesus needed the Father. He said, I can't do nothing. You can hear the poorness of Jesus when he says, I can do nothing. That's the poor in spirit. I can do nothing. Poor is, I got nothing. I can do nothing. And that's what I see you do. I can't do anything without you. That's, you wouldn't think the Son of God, the greatest man that's ever lived, that ever will live, and is coming back, you know, God in the flesh, would be like that. But he was totally just needy of the Father. And because he was, the Father just loved him and loved it, and he was able to pour into Jesus whatever he wanted to, right? So the more needy that we feel, not that our life is falling apart so much as, you know, sometimes that happens a little bit. Sometimes we're being tested. Sometimes, you know, the enemy's attacking us depending on what's going on. But that neediness that's created, like even Paul's talking about in the thorn thing, it caused him to become strong in God. Right? And I hate that feeling of feeling weak and vulnerable, you know? And yet I know when I'm feeling that way, God loves it, but I'm going, God, I don't know how long I can handle this. I mean, give it to me little doses, but not for month after month, okay? You know, it's just like, wow. But he says, Randy, you know, I'm going to teach you how to, just like Paul, I talked about Paul. He says, Paul took pleasure in it. You know why he took pleasure, Chris? Because he knew that when that was happening, even though it was painful and distressful and that, he knew that the very thing he craved the most was that God Almighty was pouring himself through him. Hallelujah. That was strong. Yeah, I did have it right. They were naked. They were, what a thing to say about a church. The church, you know, I mean, skinny dippers or something. I don't know. You know, it's like, what is this? They're poor, blind, miserable, naked, wretched. And yet they just said, we're wealthy, we haven't needed anything. You know, because they have no need. When we need him, God just loves it. He loves it, absolutely loves it. So, amen. Keep that up, bro. It's awesome. And that need is going to draw you into that place more and more, where the power of God, where the power of God becomes more precise. Like when you pray a precise prayer, a precise answer is going to be, instead of a thing of, okay, God bless me. But how many ways can God bless you? 1,000? Yeah, when you say, God bless me in my family, bless me in my, you know, finances, bless me in my property, bless me, whatever it is, bless me in my mind, bless me in the Bible. You know, then you pray specifically, and it's more pointed, it's more perfected, right? Then he answers in that, in the very thing you requested. And what he does is start building your faith in his power. That he's perfecting the precision of your prayers. That was not a generalization prayer, not a shotgun prayer. I shot shotguns for years, killed a lot of birds, shotguns, quail and pheasant, but and a rabbit or two. But there's something about, you know, a rifle, like, you know, this has to be more precise. And anyway, that's precision. There you go. God's making you more precision. Hallelujah. More needy of his power, more needy of his precise power. And that neediness that you have of him is a beautiful thing in his eyes. All right. 214-646, I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all. All right, Terrence and Tanisha are hosts on Wednesday night. They have a show tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, for opening that up to them, God, that to host angels, to host the things of God, the people of God, to be able to host, you know, like hosting, like, I don't know. When I think of hosting, I think of, like, a place where you get together and you're the host of the party, you know, or something like that. I don't know. God wants you to be the host of the party. Hosting parties for God. There you go. Hosting parties for God. Yeah, partying with God. It could be, you know, anywhere, anything. It could be on your show. It could be in a building. It could be anything. You know, hosting. You know, entertaining people in the presence of God. We entertain angels unawares. You know, so hosting, God teaching you how to host, like when a host, you go to some people's houses, and the host is like, you know, it's the worst party you've ever been to, you know, and, you know, worst gathering, whatever you want to call it, sometimes some churches are really good at hosting, some are just horrible. Sometimes people that know how to host, when you walk in that door, you feel like you're a special person. They're going like, whoa, I feel special. Why? Because that's about hosting. Good hosts. That's why many churches who learned how to host correctly made people feel important and like they were welcome there. They wanted to come back, right? They felt the atmosphere. They created an atmosphere. Well, I thank the Lord for that hosting atmosphere, God, that Terrence and Tanisha grow in and flow in. God, where they're hosting, where people, when they leave, they're going like, man, I hope I get to come back here sometime. You know, it's like it makes them want to come back for more because they felt, you know, bad. You've been to a bad party, bad church, you know, church where you just walk in there and they don't really care where you're there. Now, I've been to a few of those. Like, nobody greets you, nobody says anything. You just walk in and, like, they kind of look at you like, oh, yeah. I wonder who that is. You know, instead of, hey, man, it's really good to have you. And they host, they know how to create this thing of, man, good to have you. And Lord, I thank you for activating that in their lives in new ways, in all new different ways of how to host. So whatever they're hosting, whatever they're doing, whether they're hosting a show on PGN or whatever, they're hosting something on Facebook or wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, God, that it would be beautiful. It will be like a welcoming committee, like, man, my God, you know, you made me, that's what Catherine Coleman was one of those that just made people feel, you know, she knew how to host a meeting. Like when she stood up there, she didn't, she knew what to say, how to say it in the spirit, say it in love, welcome people. Make them laugh, make them giggle, make them have, you know, get them into worship. Worship was part of the hosting thing where they just opened up and let the hosting, the music go. And boy, I mean, people just like, oh my God, the glory of God. Because when you really host in the spirit, Terrence and Felicia, what happens is that the Holy Ghost is the one really who's there to host them. You're just hosting under the big host, right? And so I thank you, Lord, for all those creativity elements in hosting and making people feel welcome and blessed. And even if you have to correct them a little bit or whatever, it's a way that once you correct them, they feel like you treat them special, more special after you correct them than you did before you correct them. Like, because you let them know, I love you, I'm for you, I got to correct you, but, you know, I want to actually invite you back to my house tomorrow to come back and have dinner with us. You know, a very special invitation, and yet you were the only one that you corrected. They were the only ones you corrected, and yet you're inviting them back tomorrow. Why? Because it's like part of, you know, learning how to host people in the presence of God. So I thank you, Lord, for that anointing, God, to create an atmosphere of healing, of miracles, of your welcome here. You open up your heart, because it opens up people's heart. When you truly host something right in the spirit, it opens people up. They just go, man, I love this place. And they just sit back and relax like they're home. When they feel like they're home, they can relax, can enjoy, they can receive. can laugh, they can cry, they can feel, they just feel at home. They feel welcomed. If you feel at home, it's because you feel like you belong. And Lord, I thank you for that thing in them that causes people to feel like they belong. Man, that's awesome. I know you guys already have that. I mean, I've seen it. Really, really awesome. Beautiful. All right. All right, amen. That's it. Very cool. All right, 910-379. You want to talk to you from, please?
Yes, it's Esther in Nigeria and Faye, North Carolina.
Okay, who did you say? What was the first one, please, Faye?
Esther.
Esther? Okay.
Yeah.
She's from Nigeria, and then Faye, of course. Okay, awesome. Okay, hang on a second here. Esther? I thought you did that right. All right, Faye, you did say Esther, correct?
Yes.
Esther, okay. I'm just making sure I get it right. I don't want to say your name over and over again if I do wrongly. All right, Esther from Nigeria. All right, thank you, Lord, for Esther tonight, God. I thank you, Father, for Esther that you're opening Esther's heart to open her heart to welcome, like a welcoming committee, to open up her heart to welcome people from all nations, from all places, from the love of God. When the love of God flows through you, Esther, it's like that God is opening up an environment for people to feel like, you know, they like there's somebody in control here who loves them, who cares for them. There's somebody in control here who has authority and will protect them and watch over them. And then once they come under this dominion, once they come under this thing, once they come under this place, they are protected and kept and watched over, and they're in a safe place. And so God's going to use you to create an environment of a safe place that people can feel safe emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, in all kinds of ways. And so God has called you to do that, because it's like in, it talks about in the book of Psalms, where it says that, you know, there's the secret place. You know, those that under the shadow, you know, who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, under his feathers, under his, are safe. They're protected. They feel like though all the wrong things are going on outside, that they're in a safe place. They are protected. And God's called you to create that kind of environment. And you can't only create that kind of environment on your own. As you know, actually, you do it by, you know, welcoming the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being in control of things. When the Holy Spirit's in control of something, that means we've let him do it. Right? He's not going to come in and take it. We give it to him. And when we give it to him, then he begins to take control over things. And once we yield our will to God, I've told people this, once you yield your will to God, get ready, because he's going to take control over you. Because you've given it to him, right? You've given him permission. You think he's not going to take advantage of that permission that you give him? Most definitely, he's going to take advantage of it for your good, for your benefit, for your safety, for your protection, to show you his love. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that healing virtue, God, through Esther, in Jesus' name. Healing virtue, Father, in the name of Jesus. Healing virtue, the virtue of healing. Amen, and resurrection power in Jesus' name. Manifest itself, God. Manifest itself right now in Jesus' name. And over Faye, God, we thank you for Faye tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Faye, for plugging into the power, for plugging into new sources, or plugging into sources that the fuse doesn't blow out. It's like, oh, it lasted a little while, and then it went kapooch. And so where there's plenty of, you know, sources of power for people to plug into. And it's like people come to your house and need to plug in their trailer, plug in whatever, and they can't do it because you don't have enough. So I thank you, Lord, that as you open up Faye to that thing of being able to plug in where she needs to plug in, and people can plug into her life, plug into her situation, and draw power from her life, from where she's at, from what she's been through, draw strength and draw comfort. Power is comfort. Power is strength. So I think it'll evade that people will be able to draw strength from her, God, the strength of God. She'll be a vessel of strength in Jesus' name. when people have no strength, they can, when they become weak, then they can become open to the strength of God. Once they're broken, once they're weakened, then God moves in. So I think the Lord for training her, teaching her, showing her how to be prepared, that when people are broken, that she will recognize that and move in by the Spirit and speak the right words, say the right things. And because they're open and broken, they will be more receptive to change in the power of God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Say and Esther. Awesome. All right. 669-350. Let me talk to you, please. 669-350.
Hi. Hi. This is Martin Santa from California.
This is who?
Oh, Martine Santa from California.
Martine?
Oh, Hannah, Martine's daughter from California.
Oh, Hannah, okay. Sorry, my audio is not real good. All right, it's just you, right?
You're okay.
Not Martine, but just
yeah,
you.
Yeah, just me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, got you. Okay, thank you. You're really squelching. You're squelching pretty bad. I don't know who you're talking to, but thank the Lord for that place of victory, God, that place of knowing that you're teaching her. She's learning. She's growing. She's maturing. And the more that we mature, Hannah, the more God trusts us with things, think for our future. Sometimes he doesn't open our future up to us because we're not quite ready, because we might mess up something because we're not quite ready for it. He waits till we're ready, and then he moves us in, and then little by little we grow into that. So I thank you, Lord, for showing Hannah how to grow into things, how to be prepared for stuff. So the more she's prepared for it, the more things she's going to enter into. It's all really about preparation, being prepared. If I'm prepared, you know, God says, you're ready. That's what John the Baptist did. He prepared the way for Jesus. He did it right. He did it the correct way. And because he did it right, Jesus could do his thing. Sometimes God, when God prepares us, it has to be done right. We have to agree with it. We have to grow and mature. And when that happens, God goes, okay, you're ready for the next phase. You're ready for the next time, the next place in your life. And I thank the Lord for that, that as Hannah has been growing and maturing and moving forward with you, God, that you're going to move her to the next phase of her life, God, and open up those doors, Father, that little by little, it's not going to be some like big thing, you know, overwhelming thing, but going to be little by little, may be overwhelming at first, maybe seem really like, wow, at first. You're going to realize that he's moving you in little by little so you can grow into it, because the more we grow into it little by little, the more chance we have of not ever losing it once we get it. Many people lose their breakthroughs because they're not ready, or because they move into it too fast. So thank you, Lord, that you've shown her how to move, your Spirit to move through her, with her. God, one step at a time, one little bitty step at a time, and she grows into it. That way she doesn't mess it up. She doesn't overdo it, underdo it, overthink it, underthink it. But she walks into that place with you, Jesus, and therefore it stays. It doesn't just come and go. Amen, where it abides. She will abide in that place, God. Amen. All right. All right, 402-650. Who would talk to you from, please?
Randy, it's John and Lucerne from Omaha. If you could pray over our health.
Okay, John and Melissa from Omaha, pray over your health.
Yep.
All right, John and Melissa, thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. Lord, we just pray for their health tonight, God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus over them, God, that you, we speak the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ that cleanses and washes. Lord, I thank you for speaking strength into her faith, into their heart, into their mind. They will be able to capture that place of, you know, healing, that place of openness, that place of God touching you where you're at. Amen. We don't have to be perfect to be touched by God. If we had to be perfect, then everybody, Jesus healed before he ever died on the cross even. None of those people were perfect. They were all sinners. They were all people who didn't know. Some of them were more honest people than other people, but they all had problems. None of them were born again. None of them were perfect. He healed them and touched them. So if we thank the Lord for that thing of blessing her, blessing them, God, and Jesus, open them up to that place of being blessed and healed and cleansed and washed in Jesus' name, that they would strengthen their immune system, Father, right now by the blood of Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Amen. From oppressing them, amen, in Jesus' name, that they will be healthy and strong and vibrant in the name of Jesus, and that their health will recover quickly in Jesus' name. God, I speak to their immune system right now. Come alive. Come alive, immune system. Come alive and live and overcome and conquer this thing in the name of Jesus. Reveal your love to him, Father. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, awesome. All right, John, Melissa, God bless you. We love you. All right, 610-969. You want to talk to your company?
Hi, Prophet Randy. Shalom. This is Lisa Raquel from PA. Can Prophet Randy?
Uh-huh, go ahead. And?
Oh, I'm just requesting prayer for my mother, Miss Sandra, and my son, Devante, as well. Thank
your
you.
Your mother?
Huh? Yes.
Mother, okay.
And Devante.
And Devante, right. All right, got it. Thank you very much. All right, thank you, Lord, for Lisa's mom, God. We thank you, Jesus, for opening Lisa's heart, God, that at least in her mother's heart, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for loosening her heart, God, to be able to adjust some things, to be able to adjust her thinking a little bit, to be able to adjust how and what, when and where, and be able to trust God. Sometimes we don't know how, we don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know what. We thank you, Jesus, that we just have to trust you. Because the more we try, the less we trust God, the more we become anxiety, filled with anxiety and stress, because we're trying to figure something out or trying to, we start worrying about it. You know, we all do that sometimes. And so we have to learn how to, you know, let God do the work and do the, thing of dealing with people and dealing with things, and we just trust and believe that he's able to do it. He's able to do it. He's more than able to do it. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing her mom in Jesus' name and the acquisition being made in Jesus' name and that place of freedom, God, for Lisa's mom in Jesus' name. Open that up and let her see that she cast her cares upon you, Jesus, and will cause her to have a lot less anxiety and stress and be able to have her faith strong and trust you, God, and not overwhelm herself with too much at one time. Amen. And try to shut her system down and cause her system to come alive in Jesus' name by casting those cares, getting those weights off of you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke those weights on your mind, on your shoulders in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Lord. All right. And for Devante, God, we thank you for Devante tonight. Father, we thank you for the tears, for his tears, God, for I see him, in tears. And I don't know if it's being broken before the Lord or what that tears is, the tears are, but they look like something's being broken, something's being washed, something's being opened up. And, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the beauty of that for Devante, God, for opening up and the brokenness and the weeping. Father, in Jesus' name, those things that are within begin to be washed out. Sorrow, the things that we, you know, don't know how to handle, don't know what to do, our failures. We all make failures. We all have mistakes and be able to forgive ourselves, God. I speak that Devante will be able to forgive himself. Before he can ever really forgive anybody else, he's going to have to forgive himself, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then forgive those others so that God can forgive him. Place of forgiveness. I believe he can be blessed, God, to bless him. Amen. All right, Lisa. Pennsylvania, thank you, Lord, for Lisa. Thank you, Jesus, for the knowing in her, God, the knowing that she will be able to know the difference between whether it's instincts, her human instincts, woman's instincts, or the power of the Holy Spirit, because the power of the Holy Spirit's instincts, if you will, are very precise. And sometimes a woman's instincts can be very strong, very powerful. But not anything like the Holy Spirit when he is discerning and walking through something that they will not mix together. And she will keep those things separate, Father, where she can identify, you know, the woman's intuition thing, which is very God-given, and the discernment and the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, where that can be divided out and able to rest in the Lord and know that God is doing something, that he's moving, and that he is causing her to discern that and know that and bear witness to that Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that whole scenario of knowing, the rightly dividing of the spirit of discernment, the thing that we're getting, we're about rightly divide our intentions from God's. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you can be successful at that and be wise at that and be strong at that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And be able to move forward with progress in the kingdom of God. Amen. In Jesus' name. And to help those people that are going in circles, that keep going around the mountain over and over again and don't even know they're doing it, that you will help open up their eyes, God. Let them see it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Awesome. All right, 754-255, I'm going to talk to the friend, please.
I think that the industry and people in general discriminate against white female wrestlers.
I mean, I can't speak frankly but myself, but if I
had... It's Randy, who am I talking to the friend, please? 754-255, hello?
I'm not going to...
Yes. Who am I talking to you from, please? Wow, interesting. That was cool. All right, 754-255. Who am I talking to, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
Hey, all right. All right, good to have you guys. I thought it would be all. Trying to make sure. All right, Donald and Tanya, thank you, Lord, for Donald. And Tanya, Lord, we thank you for Tanya tonight, God, that you show her your glory, that you reveal your glory to her, God, that she will see that walking in the glory is something that you called her to do, walking in your presence, walking in victory, walking in a knowing that you're with her, that you're always guiding her somehow or another, even with, you know, mistakes and things that we don't always understand what we're doing. We're just kind of going about doing what we know to do and finding out that the whole time she was being led by the Lord by those things. We thank you, Lord, for really confirming to her, God, that she's walking. You called her to walk in the glory, in the manifest presence of God, and that you called her and Donald to walk in that manifest presence of God. As you think that Donald will realize that the glory of God that's upon him is to walk with God, is to know God, is to have a revelation from God, is to need him. The more glory we walk in, the more we need it. The more we become broken, the more we become humbled, knowing that without him we can't do anything. And it's a state of humility where God's power becomes perfected, God's power becomes stronger. And, you know, then in our weaknesses, he becomes strong. You know, it's like a burning that in us so that we don't become strong in ourselves and think we can do it by ourselves. We always need him. And sometimes being needy is a feeling of, like, you know, being in the dark or something. But sometimes that darkness is being in the secret place. You know, sometimes in the secret place, it's dark in there. You know, you're hidden out. And so thank you, Lord, for that place, for that message of the glory of God, that the more weak we are in ourselves, the more the glory of God can rest upon us. And Jesus, I thank you that you called Donald and Tanya to walk in the glory, to live in the glory together, God, in Jesus' name, to raise their children in the glory of God. And sometimes that's just everyday life going on and God being right there hovering over them, watching over them. It's not that we always feel the anointing. It's not that we always feel super spiritual. It's that we, you know, basically overall, that God is hovering over us and, you know, teaching us how to live by faith, teaching us how to live with him. And sometimes that is living in the glory. And then every once in a while, the glory will manifest and say, yeah, here's the glory. There, over you, hanging over you the whole time and just watching over you in Jesus' name. Then all of a sudden, the glory manifests through some situation, through some conversation. The glory manifests. And reconnection shows you, yeah, you're connected. You've always been connected. You're always going to be connected. I've called you to be connected. I've called you to the glory. And to giving glory, to being called to the glory, Donald and Tanya, means you're called to give God glory. That God's going to work things through you where you where you'll give him the glory because ain't nobody else to get the glory to. It's like, oh, my God, if God hadn't showed up, I don't know what I would have done. We give God all the glory for what he's doing. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, that they're children of glory. They're called to the glory. They're called to give God the glory and not take the glory, take the glory away from man and give it back to God. You're going to use them to do that, to take the glory away from man and give that glory back to God where it belongs. Amen? The glory robbers, like we used to talk about the grave robbers. We've got glory robbers who rob the glory from God. And God's called you guys to return that glory back to God. Amen, to restore the glory back to the Father. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, awesome. Wow. Cool. 83991 with something. Are you there?
Hi, Randy. This is Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. Hey, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight. Thank you for that that peace, God, that causing her to relax and rest, learn how to rest her mind, that her mind can rest, because when your mind is not resting, not taking a Sabbath, the next time taking some kind of a rest time, that it can't open up. But the more when we rest our bodies, our minds, our souls, our spirit, whatever we have to rest us, our things, it opens up to be able to like my mercies are new every morning. It's like it opens up the new thing. Resting, learning how to rest opens up to the new thing. So I thank you, Lord, that as we enter into that rest, as Angela enters into the rest, learning how to rest in you, learning how to not strive. And we all strive at first. We're all learning and growing. Jesus learned obedience to the things he suffered. And I thank you, Jesus, that she's learning how to rest in you. Resting in you doesn't mean you sit around doing nothing. Resting in you means, as you know, it means to trust God for the answers. Trust God for, whatever we're doing, he's going to supply the source that we need for it, the sources and the fruit. He's going to produce fruit. And as Jesus said, fruit comes from seed. God gives us seed of ideas, seeds of creativity, seeds of imagination. And we begin to work those things, and the more we work them and give them to God, and God perfects them. He perfects the imagination. He perfects the creativity. It gets perfected. We have to work creativity in order for it to be perfected. Some people think it's just automatic, all comes together at once, and like, boom. No, but it's you work with what God gives you a teeny bit. You honor it. You respect it. You take it. You work it, and you get through working it. And he says, okay, good work. And then he gives you some more. And so we honor him and everything he gives us. We work it. So I thank you, Jesus, for resting in God is working his works. But we rest from our own labors. And we take hold of what he gives us and learn how to work that. Amen. And so I thank you, Lord, for that, providing the seed, the thoughts, the ideas, the imagery in her mind and soul from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And, show her that she can get all kinds of ideas from every kind of, there's no limitation to the ideas God wants to give you. Not just about writing, like you do, and that kind of thing, but it can be anything. It can be putting together some kind of a vitamin or some kind of a something or some kind of a produces, there's all kinds of things God's going to use you for. So, Lord, I thank you for opening her up to that and feeding her faith, watering her, letting her know that you're on her side, that you're with her, and that you're going to give her the seeds of ideas, and they start out real little, and then they grow into something, but you have to work them. We work them, work them, work them. Amen. They just don't happen. We get a little bit, and then we take the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus worked it. He gave it out to the disciples, and he just rested and watched God do it. Amen. It started multiplying and increasing. All right. Awesome. Give me a second. I'll be right back. Let's take our next caller here, 804-218. Then we'll talk to you someplace.
Angie from Virginia.
Hey, Angie. All right. Thank you, Lord, for producing wealth in her, God, the wealth. Wealth is things that come from God. Wealth is, we look at wealth as money sometimes, and it is, but But wealth, the wealth of, you know, God's going to give you a different view, image of wealth. Wealth can be the person who comes up with all the ideas. Wealth can be the person who thinks in an unlimited fashion. It doesn't really limit God. And so I see God like breaking open your mind, like bread, opening your mind, and being able to like bread when Jesus broke the bread, that the bread became multiplied. I see God like taking your mind and you know because you're like you had this whole thing about your brain how God has really you know done some great work with you and that is amazing. The miracle that God did. And it's like that, for some reason, that becomes like a thing where God's saying, like, that's just an example of the beginning of what I'm going to do. I'm going to use your brain. I'm going to break your brain. You know, he took bread and broke it and blessed it and it increased and multiplied. But I think for this thing in Angie's life, God, where her brain is used, like, she learns how to lift her brain up to God, like bread, bless it and break it. And as she gives it out, you know, gives ideas, gives all these different things, gives her life away, gives thoughts to people, gives love, gives the thoughts of God to people, like God using your brain to give his word to, and that bread, those words and information and stuff that you get, it's like bread, except it's multiplication bread, it's increased bread, except it comes from your brain, from your mind. So open that up in Jesus' name, where she will conceive those thoughts, those thinking, God, and that her brain will become like bread broken for you. Broken and spilled out for love of you, Jesus, God's most precious treasure. Yeah, there it is. Poured out on me. Yeah, broken and spilled out. Broken and increased and multiplied. Yeah, so there's going to be a lot going on with your brain thing. And God's going to increase that and multiply that. You're going to, it's like, it's just the beginning of a new thing. Amen. Ideas, imagery, opening up the brain itself to understand the brain to help heal it, you know, not just from what your kind of thing was, but from emotional, you know, the whole brain contains all kinds of things. Emotional thoughts, spiritual thoughts, contains demons sometimes, all kinds of things. Contain the glory of God. Amen. Words from God. Yeah, and God's going to open up and show how that through the brain a lot of things happen. We don't even know it. So we can close it off, amen, and open up. God closes the door so that nothing can get in except, you know, and he opens the doors that no man can shut. That's in our brains, in our mind. All right, awesome. All right, 863-808, you want to talk to Grant, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
All right, good day, everyone. Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, Father. Thank you for that royalty thing, God, that opening up the royalty realm to her. You know, when we see the royalty of Jesus, when we see royalty, that means we're connected to royalty. Somehow we're going to be connected to royalty, you know, some fashion, some way, some royalty. I'm not sure exactly what all the realms of royalty are, but I got a feeling it's pretty cool. Hang on a second. Look at the word royalty. All right, the meaning of royalty is, okay, people of royal blood or status. That could be the blood of Jesus. Diplomats, head of state, royalty shared tables at the banquet, a sum of money paid, a royalty to a sum of money paid to a patentee for the use of a patent or the author of a composer of a book. Sold or public performance to work, whatever that is. A person of royal lineage, member of a royal family, royalties, archaic, prerogatives, rights, symbolic emblems of a king, queen, of a sovereign, a royal domain, kingdom, realm, character, or quality proper of benefiting sovereignty. I don't know. I don't have a clue what that means exactly, but you know, yeah, so somehow or another, you know, God's connecting you to that. I don't know if that's a matter of worship, a matter of you know, God showing you the royalty of Christ and how we're connected. You know, we are the royal. We're connected to royalty in the sense that we're His children, we're sons and daughters. And when we know that in the spirit realm, then it becomes a thing of how we connect to it in the earth, the things that are truly royalty. You know, like some people could be, like a pastor could be, you know, a truly a royalty person. You know, not just a regular pastor. He's really into the royalty of Jesus. You know, he's into that lineage. He's really given his life. And maybe that he's a royalty in the sense of the kingdom of God, you know, entertaining angels unaware. You know, like that's, I don't know if that's royalty or not, but you know what I mean. Yeah, so, yeah, so that royalty thing and being connected to that or understanding it somehow or another. And like I said, when we connect into the royalty of heaven and honor God and Jesus for who he is and what he is, then we realize that we are royalty. We are connected. We are blood of a royal family, the kingdom of God. And we realize that then we start seeing the people in the earth that though they may be dressed in rags, that they really are royalty. To, you know, because we don't look to the outer man, we look to the inner man. I don't know, something like that. There you go. I just get what I get, and that's all I can do. Awesome. Very, very cool. All right. 863-605, you want to talk to me some, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida.
Hey, y'all. Are you still in the hospital or not yet?
No, I'm still in here because my wound started leaking. And they're just giving me a bunch of antibiotics.
Good, I'm glad I asked. Okay. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Nikki, God. We just thank you, Jesus, right now. We thank you, Lord, for touching her, God, for I command her system, her immune system, to become, you know, fully activated, Father, in Jesus' name. And anything that causes, that hinders that from activating, from her immune system by the Holy Spirit activating that. And God, just do a work that the medicine can't do, that the doctors can't do. Just do a work. God, we trust you. We know that you operate better than any doctor. You apply medicine. You are our medicine, Jesus. You are our immune system fixer and healer. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for that, for the glory of God upon her, Jesus, to begin to close those wounds out, let them, those wounds healed. I command every wounded part of her body to be made whole in the name of Jesus. Together, let everything be sewn together, be knit together in Jesus' name. Every cell in her body begin to work together to make her whole in the name of Jesus. I command it by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Be knit together. Body, the Word of God says we are knit together, Lord. Let her body, in a physical sense, even though we're knit together spiritually, the people we're knit together, our bodies also knit together. Let it be knit together, God. Sealed up, functioning and flowing right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless Nikki, God. Let her calling come forth, Father, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Charles, God, give Charles that supernatural encounter, God, a strength to help create an environment for encounters from God. Amen, in Jesus' name, that the faith will be, the substance of faith will be activated to materialize the healing virtue of Christ Jesus, to materialize her body, be made whole. God, let there be engrafts placed in her womb, God, the engrafting of the Word of God. I declare and decree right now, the engrafting of the Word of God into her body in Jesus' name, wherever it's needed, God, you know. I command it to be done right now in Jesus' name and speak blessing over them, holiness, righteousness, beauty, glory, in the name of Jesus, God, that they will be knit together. Her body will knit itself together by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be made whole. Be cleansed by the blood. Be washed by the blood. In the name of Jesus, let it be done, God, right now. Everything, work in the name of Jesus. Work, work, work. When God works, Jesus works. When Jesus works, God works. The Holy Spirit works in Jesus' name. Let the work of God be done in their lives, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You seal it in Jesus' name. We declare it done. By the power of God. Amen. All right, guys. We love you. We'll be standing with you on that. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. All right, 847-505. Can we talk to you, please?
This is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. All right, Marja, thank you, Lord, for Marja's night. Lord, thank you, Lord, for surpassing all knowledge and all understanding. God, you're giving her the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Christ Jesus about things, God, where she will know how to, you know, create an environment of, you know, of your welcome, of your blessed, of your, when you're around Margie, you feel blessed. When you're around Margie, you feel like, you know, there's something good going on. When you're around Margie, there's something good happening. When you're around Margie, God, because of the glory of God in her life, God, there is a cleansing washing of the atmosphere. There's a cleansing washing of people's hearts and minds, God, in Jesus' name, for she will acknowledge and come into agreement with the cleansing, washing power of Jesus Christ. God, that whoever she comes in contact with, she becomes like a water hose or like a hose that washes and cleanses and creates a clean environment, Father, where the glory of God can be welcomed. In Jesus' name, you use Marja to prepare the way for things. And like John Baptist said, if he prepared the way for Jesus, when Jesus could come, Marja will prepare the way through thinking the right thoughts, will prepare the way for God to do a thing in the atmosphere of wherever she's at. Lord, in Jesus' name, let that be done right now. In the name of Jesus, open that up right now, God. Hallelujah. Open up the glory in Marja's life, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be done. I decree it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let worship rise up out of her heart, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Breathe that atmosphere. All right. 214-415. Who am I talking to, please?
This is Barbara, Prophet Randy from Texas.
Hey, Barbara. Barbara, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Thank you for your mercies and your grace are new every morning, God, that your mercies are new every morning, God, that she begins to, you know, what starts out in the morning being new, that it keeps her, his mercies are new every morning, that they, you know, the beginning of the day, the mercies are new, that she gives mercy, that she walks in mercy, that she receives mercy, God, that whole mercy around the mercy seat before the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat where God blessed and forgave and, you know, imparted forgivness, imparted words and information, God, I thank you, Lord, that you use Barbara, God, to bring that grace, that mercy every morning, that mercy be made new, and let her learn how to walk and keep that mercy new. Like, if we can keep the mercy new all day long, in a sense, you know, it's like sometimes the first thing in the morning, our mercy is new, but then we kind of very quickly become, you know, whatever, not so new, that you will show her how to keep that mercy new and fresh every morning for hour after hour after hour, what goes on through the day, Father, what starts out in mercy being new, ends up making her day a new thing, and starting her day with a new beginning every day, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Walking in the mercy, letting her be a walking mercy seat, in Jesus' name. And then as she lifts her arms like the two angels, the two, cherubs, that were there, and the angels that were there on the Ark of the Covenant, on the lid, on the mercy seat. Thank you, Jesus. And mercies are new every morning, God, that you will extend the mercies of God. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He said, I didn't come to stone that adulterous woman who got caught in the act. I came to extend mercy to her. God, may she, may Barbara extend mercy, God, new mercy on a regular basis, in Jesus' name, to the people that are around her. Hallelujah. Amen. Mercy's new. Wow. I'll take that. Let's take another caller. In a second, I'll be right back. Let's go here. Next caller here, 803-422. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Felicia.
Felicia?
Yes.
What state are you from, Felicia?
South Carolina.
All right, South Carolina. All right, Felicia, that's heavy. All right, Felicia, thank you. From South Carolina, thank you, Jesus. Lord, for opening her eyes, God, to like your Paul the Apostle prayed, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. They will give us wisdom and knowledge, the wisdom and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Well, I thank you that you give her the wisdom and knowledge of Christ Jesus toward the things that she needs, what she lacks. Like she has knowledge, a lot of knowledge in Revelation about some things, but some things where she's lacking in the areas that she lacks, like whatever it's her finances or, you know, sometimes feeling stressed out. You know, give her revelation on those things so that God, she can, so she, when she gets stressed out, she's not as stressed out as she used to be. She gets less and less stressed all the time. She learns how to cast on the Lord, or doesn't get a hold of her, and in the financial area, she learns how to, you know, trust you, God, and believe you for those things. But give her wisdom and revelation and knowledge of the things that cause her to have lack, God. If the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not lack anything. And that really is his purpose and vision, as you know. And I thank you, Lord, that no lack be upon her, God, that she prosper, that she be blessed in Jesus' name, that you activate in her, Father, that faith and that revelation. Faith is comes, you know, Paul prayed that I, hang on, let me get this scripture up. Here we go. Ephesians 1:15-19. Okay. All right. Ephesians 1. Give me a second here. I'm going to look this up. Here it is right here. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's what he's praying, Felicia, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom in revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the power that worketh in us. All right? So what he's saying here, what I'm saying, I'm hearing the Lord say he's going to, the areas that you lack, like we all lack, have lack in different areas. I used to lack more in some areas than I do now because I got wisdom and revelation in that area. So God is wanting you to ask specific God, you know, having trouble with some particular family issues, some financial issues, some, you know, social issues, whatever those things are, and ask him for specific and revelation in the knowledge of God toward those things so that you won't lack anymore. But that's what that spirit of wisdom does in revelation. It's for everybody. It's not just for saints, for apostles and prophets. But it is for, you know, everybody. That's what it's for. It's for everyone. That's why Paul's praying this prayer, for everybody. So I thank you, Jesus, for Felicia. You're going to open up the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Christ in those areas where she's lacking. God, well, she will not lack anymore. People will say, oh, you don't really lack that anymore. What happened? Oh, I got revelation of Jesus. God showed me what to do. I got enlightened of the Lord. Yeah. So that way God gets all the glory. And he gave the wisdom, he gave the knowledge, and he gave the breakthrough because you put it into action. I thank you, Lord, for Felicia, God, that if she does that and activates that, God, you're going to move her to a new place in Jesus' name of victory. Hallelujah. All right. All right. 303. Hang on a second. Did I already pray? It's Felicia, right? 803-42. That's Felicia. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All right, thank you, Felicia. All right, 303-6386. Can I talk to you from, please?
303-386, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Randy, it's Mike.
Tonight, God, we thank you, Jesus, for Mike, and Lord, we thank you for the movement of the Holy Spirit, God, that you show him how to agree with that, how to come in agreement. The Bible says, Lord, two or more agree as touching a matter, it shall be done. And Lord, I thank you that that the big thing is, as we know, when we pray the will of God, he listens. When we don't, he doesn't. I've been preaching this the last few days. I'm trying to put a scripture here, 1 John 5:14. This is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he listens to us. If Jesus was saying here, we're going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I read this just yesterday. You can raise Lazarus from the dead. He's praying, right? He prays out loud. He said, I know that you always listen to me, Father, but because of the multitude I stand around you, that stands around, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So he says, I know that you always listen to me. Why did he always listen to him? Because he always prayed the will of the Father. So as you know, you already know all this, but getting a hold of this thing of, you know, what the will of God is. One of the biggest things I do is I ask God, you know, what is your will? What do you want me to pray about? Because when we ask, we receive. And there's a process of ask, you shall receive, knocking, ask, you shall receive, seeking, you shall find, knocking, it shall be opened. But the true process of breaking into that place is asking God what. Sometimes I just ask him what to ask for. As you know, I've said this many times. God, what do you mean to ask for? Because if I don't ask the right thing, you know, you're just going to keep, I'm going to keep going in circles. So show me what to ask. And sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. And so I thank the Lord for Mike. I thank the Lord for showing him what to ask for. And when he asks, then he receives. And then he receives, he seeks you with that information. And then he, as he receives it and he seeks you with it, you begin to open a door and show him the door that you want to walk through. That I think for the new door of God that you're bringing him to in Jesus' name, that the new door of understanding, the new door of wisdom, the new door of, you know, understanding that in Christ Jesus, God is able to make everything new in an instant. Amen. With the right information, with the right stuff, God is able to make everything new in a moment. And thank the Lord for showing him how to walk in that and live in it, God, in Jesus' name. To where he, the process of prayer, ask and you shall receive, knock and you shall, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be open. I thank the Lord that, we thank the Lord that the process that we go through is what brings us to the door that opens, instead of the doors that just never do open. They just, we knock on them forever because we've gone through the wrong, we've gone through the process the wrong way. So thank you, Lord, for that door. Open it up in Jesus' name as you go through that process, Father, of learning that and walking in that in Jesus' name. For every prayer he prays will always be answered. It's like Jesus. Jesus said, you always hear me, Father. Amen? I know you always hear me. Why? Because when we pray the will of God, he listens or he hears us. So when we don't, he doesn't. If he knows anything less than his will is, harm for us. Yeah. Only his will is the riches of his will for us. If that's what makes us rich, is his will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for giving him wisdom, God. In Jesus' name, how to ask. In Jesus' name, how to seek. Then when you seek correctly with the information you get, then you find. And then showing God, open up his heart, brand new God, like you're doing me. You show me how to do this all the time. Sometimes I skip a process and I end up knocking on doors that nobody ever answers it. Going like, what's up? Yeah, so in Jesus' name, do that for him, God. Show him your way. Amen. All right, my brother, good to hear from you. All right, thank you, Jesus. Let's go here and I don't have any more callers with their hand up right now. 903, you don't have your hand up. 915, you don't have your hand up. 912, you don't. 608, you don't. 912. 46, you don't have your hand up. So if you want prayer, please get that hand up there and we'll pray for you. All right. 912-246, you want to talk to the phone, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy, Angela Joy, Georgia.
Hey, Angela. All right, thank you, Angela Joy. Thank you, Lord, for rejoicing, that rejoicing, renewing your joy. It's like when God renews our joy, it's you know, because we you know, kind of see things in a different light, like we're getting something new. Anytime I enter into something new, it gives me joy. It's like going out, you know, you feel like you want to, you know, buy you a new shirt or a new dress. I don't wear dresses personally, but I'm sure you do. But I've got my new pair of jeans and a T-shirt. You know, I used to buy me new ties, you know, back when I wore ties back in the old days. And if I wanted to feel new, I'd go buy me a new tie. Or if I wanted to feel new, I'd buy me, you know, a new pair of pants, or some new something, new T-shirt, new shirts. It, you know, and of course, it's not really the real thing, but it does make you feel new. It's like I feel like this new joy, God's going to bring you a new joy because you're going to be dressed in something new. And you go, oh, my gosh, it's like I got a new dress or I got a new whatever. Yeah, I got a new hat or I got a new something. And that new thing just makes you feel new because you know what God does for us, we wear it. You know, when sometimes, you know, we wear the same old thing for a long time and it's beautiful. It's been an awesome job. We've really done great with it. But then God says, I'm going to dress you in something new. And when that happens, it brings a new joy. It brings like a newness, a freshness, you know, like it does when I get a new car or a new whatever. A new lawnmower. That was a bad one, lawnmower. I don't know why I thought about lawnmower, but you know, when you mow the lawn, you appreciate a new lawnmower, right? Like, oh, this is brand new. Makes you feel good. You're like, oh, this is going to be nice. So I don't know, but I feel like something nice, something new, putting on something new, something new. That's kind of what I'm getting, something to renew your joy, to reestablish your joy, to activate your joy. And by, you know, we talk about these mercies are new every morning. It's like if we put on these mercies new every morning, it's like putting on a brand new shirt or brand new whatever, right? It's new. And it's not some old thing cleaned up and ironed. It's a brand new. So thank you both for the new thing, the new way, the new season. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it come forth, Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just thank you for the blood of Christ over my sister, God. Blood, the blood of Jesus, God, that you will work those things that are for her good, for her benefit, in Jesus' name. Nothing less than the greatest, and that is the will of God. Nothing less. Nothing more. All right. Open up. Nothing less, nothing more. Open, open, open that door. Nothing less, nothing more. Open, open, open up that door. All right. All right. Okay, Carmen just texted me. Thank you for that. Carmen says, pray for Daniel and David. I guess David is your son, right? Well, he's your son who was Yavin in the little car accident. Okay, gotcha. All right. Thank you for Daniel and David. Thank you, Carmen. We just bless you, Jesus, for Carmen tonight. God, we thank you both for Daniel. Well, we thank for Daniel. I was just thinking about Daniel today. I had Daniel on my mind today. Nothing particular, just thinking about him. And, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I was just thinking about it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just puts people in my mind and I just think about them. sometimes I go into prayer about it. Sometimes I just meditate on them. So I'm meditating on Daniel tonight. So thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for Daniel. Thank you, Lord, for that, for teaching how to meditate on your things, God, on your scripture, on your word. On when God gives a word, Daniel, like Paul told Timothy, you know, Timothy is one of his favorite disciples. He said, take the prophecies that I've given that you've received, 1 Timothy 1:18, and meditate on them, you know, recall them. Different versions say different things, but he says, you know, he didn't say get the word of God out. No, we don't want to get the word of God out. The word of God is number one. But then he says get those prophecies out and meditate on them. So I think when I was like getting you, I was just overall like, you know, how's he doing? What's going on? And so I'm here now. That's like this, you know, to fight the good fight is what Paul is telling Timothy. He said, you want to fight a really good fight. Prophecies are a big part of that. That's what he says. 1 Timothy 1:18 says that exactly. To my son Timothy, I command you to go and listen to those prophecies about you, concerning you, or personal prophecies about him, concerning him. to go back and listen to those things so you can fight a good fight. So in other words, they help you fight the fight. Lord, I thank you for Daniel, God, for opening him up to that, letting him see that, letting him understand it at a deeper level. This is not just some, you know, thing to get some, you know, do something spiritual and act like we all got it together. It truly is a thing God gave. The prophetic realm is amazing. And if we take full advantage of what God has given us, then we we enter into the full benefits of what God's given. In other words, that is fighting a good fight, the wage of good warfare. Amen. In Jesus' name, with David, Lord, Carmen's son, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for David, God. We thank you for just letting all of his questions, all of his fears, all of his things he struggles with, all of this stuff, God, that we all have, God, let it draw him close to you, Jesus. Let him come close to you. Let everything be broken off of him that's been in the past, God, that has held him bound, that kept him back from the very best, from the very best thing, from the very best way, having the very best, having the very best quality relationship with God. In Jesus' name, where he knows that he knows that he knows that he's born again, that he's got a relationship with Jesus and the Father. That's not a guess. It's not a, I hope so. No, I wonder. He knows that. He may not know. He may know that he's not perfect. He may know that he doesn't do everything right all the time. But that he will know that he will know that he is saved. He will know that he's born again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes, of course. It's for Carmen. Carmen, too, thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Carmen. God, we thank you, Lord, for giving her wisdom that surpasses the basic principles of, you know, we have basic principles that we understand. We talk about this a lot, but it's so basic, common thing that Christians, you know, when things are happening, they put two and two together in the Bible, and they start thinking, okay, Job, there must be something wrong with Job, because, you know, this, that, and the other. And so the truth was, there was nothing wrong with Job, really. He was a godly man. But because they put two and two together in the Bible, they came up with the wrong solution. You know, sometimes things are at a higher level, and we have to realize that and ask God to either show us the higher level or, you know, to keep us from coming up with conclusions, you know, just from, quote, you know, people, oh, the Word of God's going to be it. But, you know, sometimes what's going on in the spirit realm, even though it is biblical, it is hidden from us. And I thank you, Lord, for showing Carmen those hidden things. When people are going through, when you want her to know what they're going through, that is beyond, you know, okay, they deserve this, they should, you know, they're reaping this or so, and they sowed that, and they're reaping this. And when it's beyond that, when there's something like in Job's case where God provoked the whole thing and made Job look bad for a while, made him look like he was, you know, he was compromising, but he wasn't. But nobody could see that. So I think people are showing Carmen, God, how to open up to that, to see that, to know that, to be able to, you know, discern when something supernatural is going on so that she can come into agreement with what God is doing and help the person make it through the trial they're going through instead of, you know, saying, well, you know, Job, you must have done something wrong because of what's going on with you. But that wasn't the case. So thank you, Jesus, for that bring her to that place of the counsel, not to be like Job's friends, were really God-fearing, God-godly people, but just couldn't see beyond the biblical narrative of you reap what you sow, and now you're in trouble, and that's all being exposed. It was not the case in this situation. So I thank you, Jesus, for giving Carmen that wisdom, God, of how to handle things, how to, you know, I mean, I would hate to have somebody to bless me and pray for me because I gave them some bad wisdom, right? Some human wisdom from the Bible instead of God information, and then getting doubled because you know, they're saying bless me to that. You know, but we want to teach people, we want to show people how to avoid that. I mean, to make sure we're hearing from God about something, not jump on the bandwagon of, you know, well, they must have, you know, so you know that whole thing. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for giving her those pictures in her mind, God, where you're opening up her imagination, Father, to your Word at higher level. That will she would know and understand things. When you give her pictures in her mind, you know, that the spirit of her mind will be connected to the Word of God. And that those words from heaven will become pictures in her mind that she will see. know and understand Him, be able to say what God is saying, do what God is doing. You give the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of man. Yeah. All right. Let's see what I have here. Okay, 912-398, you want to talk to your company?
Hello?
Yes, 912-398. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Georgia.
Paulette? Oh, hi, Paulette.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Paulette. Good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Paulette. Thank you, Jesus, for being able to recognize things, being able to recognize people, like on the road to Emmaus, when they didn't recognize Jesus. You know, they walked with Him, they watched Him, they loved Him, they thought He was the Messiah, and then when He died, they got all disappointed. And there He came walking with Him, and they didn't even recognize Him. He was standing right there. Because they were blinded with sorrow. They were blinded with, oh, He's dead. So how can this be Jesus? You know, their mind was closed to it. Then they broke bread with Him, their minds were open, so they could recognize. So I thank you, Lord, for the ability for Paulette to be able to recognize something that's of God when it's in front of her, whether it's a friend, a situation, a circumstance, you know, a blessing, a potential blessing, that she will be able to, you know, trust You and break bread with You, God, that her mind would be open so she can see that this is Jesus. This is God is involved in this. This is God doing it. I couldn't see it before. Now I see it. And I thank You, Lord, for opening her eyes to let her see things that are of You, that she will not miss her blessing, miss her breakthrough, miss her visitation, God, that she will be very open and very, her mind will be open and able to see and hear from God and know that God is involved in something. Instead of what people are saying or whatever everybody else is saying, to listen to the voice of God and to have our mind open, just like the guys in the road to Emmaus. They were blind as they could be, and God opened their minds, and they went, oh, my God, that's Jesus. All of a sudden they realized that He was walking right with them the whole time. God, do that in Paulette's life, God, where she will recognize that things that are of Jesus, that are of God. Well, that's never going to work. People say, you know, He's already dead, and they believed all that. You know, they saw it happen, actually, but they didn't know they didn't know He'd been risen from the dead. He was walking next to them until their eyes got opened, until their mind got opened up. Lord, open up her mind, God, let her see, and let her help others to open their mind to the things that are really of God, whether it be prophecy, whether it be financial, whatever it is, to be able to see it, God, and not be closed off to it because they can't see. Amen. All right, 781-775, you may talk to us, please.
Martine from Houston, Caleb.
Absolutely. All right, I'm Martine. Thank you, Lord, for Martine. Thank you, Jesus, for Martine. God, we thank You, Lord, for Caleb. God, we thank You, Jesus, that You are, you know, going to open up Caleb's eyes, God, so he can see. So he could look at himself and get his eyes off himself and start looking up and start finding how to find God, how to find the Lord in things, how to find the truth, how to find out who he belongs to, what he's all about. God, that he will, the things that he's going through that are trying to bring him down, God, that he will break loose from them, he will cut ties with that, and he will come into the new and living way, a new and living way, and instead of the dead things, the things sometimes we connect to. I know I did that many times, even as a Christian. I connected to dead things. Didn't know it was a dead thing until I found out later. Because I was becoming dead like it was dead, right? So God says, break away from that and become part of, connect with something that's alive and it's real. And so I thank You, Lord Jesus, for taking those the blinders off, God, that he can see the things that really are real, the things that really are God, and open up his heart, God, to show him Your love and Your compassion. What a beautiful person that You've made him to be, Jesus. In Jesus' name, that he will know that he is called of You to love You and to know You. Amen. And sometimes being called by God, you go through trials and struggles. But God lets you identify with certain things for a while so you can come out of it and minister to other people that are caught up in things to help them, to love them. Not condemn them, not criticize them, but to love them. And God's going to give you that great love for, you know, people who have, you know, problems. Yeah. Amen. Let it happen for them, God. And for hang on a second, I'll be right back. Okay, Kayla, there you go. All right, Martine, thank you, Lord, for Martine tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for adjusting everything, God, for making those adjustments, making those the spirit of freedom, God, where she can learn how to be free. You're testing her faith. You're trying her faith, God. You're trying to draw her deeper into you with the peace that passes understanding, where she doesn't have to understand everything, try to figure out everything, try to overwork everything like we all do sometimes, but she will come to that place of peace and rest and knowing that you're gonna conquer. She's gonna be more than a conqueror. She's gonna be very blessed and very free and very very able to to make wise decisions and to know that you are with her, God, and that all these adjustments that she's making, God, that she's gonna make them because she's made for this. She's being put in a position where she's out of familiar territory because you're drawing her into a whole new fellowship with you, a whole new ability to know you and grow with you, Jesus. Hallelujah, to love it and to become that person greater than what she ever even thought she would be. Amen, because she got out of the boat, walked on the water, God, and let her help her keep her eyes off the storm. Instead of looking at all the storms and the struggles, as she looks to you, Jesus, keeps her eyes on you in this time of transition. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Cool. All right. 951-966. Can we talk to your friend, please?
Hi, Prophet. This is Regina from California.
Hi, Regina. All right, Regina. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the power to prosper, God, the power to prosper, the power to move forward. The power gets perfected. Read that tonight in the scripture where Paul was praying that when he's talking about his thorn in the flesh, that God was using that to make him weak so that the power of God would be perfected. Lord, I thank you for perfecting the power of God in Regina's life, God, perfecting it, making it stronger, making it more effective, making it more powerful, making it more, like when Jesus walked on the shores, you know, the demons just start crying out because why? Because he was effective. He was powerful. And I thank you, Lord, that you're making Regina powerful, God, and effective, God, that her prayers are effective, that her new life, like a new life, like a seeing to get a new life, and that new life being perfected, because God's perfected you. And the more you become perfected, the more the power of God opens up doors that normally wouldn't be open, until that power gets perfected. It's been maybe you want to be open up for a while, but it can't because we have to be perfected. You know, just like with me, sometimes when I'm not letting God do the right work in me and certain things, the doors don't open because I haven't been perfected in that. I haven't matured like he wants me to in that area. But when I do, all of a sudden, boom, the door opens. Boom, the door opens. Boom, the door opens. I see three doors opening up. And Jesus, open up those doors, God, in Jesus' name, in her mind, her heart, and literally in her circumstances, with the family, in Jesus' name, with people around her, in the name of Jesus, the familiarity, whatever it is, something like that. sometimes the people that are familiar with us are like Jesus with Nazareth and his family. When he went back there, he couldn't do miracles. Why? Because they were familiar with him. So you got to understand that sometimes you're going to be more effective around people who aren't familiar with you. You know, don't really go, oh, I've been around her all the time. I know who she is. But when they really don't know the new you, the new who you are. they knew who you were, but they don't know who you are. There you go. They knew who you were, but they don't know who you are. Oh, yeah. If I could sing it, I would sing that. They knew who you were, but they don't know who you are. Whoa, they knew who Jesus was, but they didn't know who he is, who he had, what he had grown into. Ooh, wow, that's pretty awesome. Regina, I love that. My God, that's amazing. In Jesus' name, open it up, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, like a reformation, like a reformation going on or something. I don't know what that is. Oh, hallelujah, amen. All right, 334-599, you want to talk to the company?
Hi, it's Jayla.
Hi, Jayla. All right, Jayla, good to have you. Jayla from Georgia, I think, or maybe where she's at. Thank you, Jayla, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Jayla. God, we thank you, Lord, for reactivating her ability to discern, reactivating, refreshing a lot of things, renewing a lot of things, bringing back those things even better than what she had before. a lot of the things that she thought she was really good at, let her be a lot better at them. The things she was really close about with you, God, that she would be a lot closer than, getting hold of mercy and grace and compassion, God, and walking in a whole new phase of her life, God, where she reactivating things that you walked in before, but activating them in a way that that's brand new. Amen. In Jesus' name, stirring up your faith. Amen. To trust God and not just people, but God. When you put God first, then God will draw people. We put people first and believe in God for the people, then it doesn't work. We believe God, and then God brings the people, right? So thank you, Lord, for bringing that person, God, in Jesus' name, for healing her, for preparing her for the future, by healing her, God, by continual, just always, give us this day our daily bread, that she's always finding daily bread, God, and that daily bread is helping her to adjust and prepare, amen, so she can walk into her future. Sometimes we can't walk into our future because we don't pass the test. Passing the test isn't just some hard thing we do. Passing the test means that it shows, what we've learned, what we haven't learned in reality. But not the phony stuff that we all have sometimes, like, oh, yeah, I'm faith in that, but it's not really real faith. It's phony faith. But when real faith is working, things really happen. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. For Jayla, God, we thank you, Jesus, for breaking the soul ties from the past that try to drag her down, and bringing her to that new place in Jesus' name, where she can reconnect and find a whole new connection with a whole new love, a whole new power, a whole new everything. Amen. All right. God bless you, Jayla. Good to have you tonight. All right. 608-960. Who want to talk to Ruth, please?
Shannon, Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon tonight. God, thank you, Lord, for the hour of power, God. For the hour of power. God, that just show up in Shannon's life with the power of God. God, in spite of himself. Catherine Coleman, a lot of people said about Catherine Coleman, said, I don't know if God used her in spite of her, because she had so many different ways of doing things that were so odd that people just didn't understand her. But, he used her. And I thank you, Lord, for just breaking into his life, God, opening up and helping him, Jesus, to break through and to move forward, God. And he'll give you all the glory, give you all the praise, because it's your power and your manifest glory that brought him through in Jesus' name. And he will give you all the honor, God, and all the worship and all the praise, because you're doing it in Jesus' name. Everything that he's come short of in understanding, God, you're going to cause him to understand things, so he won't go back to the old Shannon. Every time we change, we don't go back to the old. We continue to move forward. The old was okay, but the new is much better. And I thank you, Lord, that you're moving him forward into a much better place in Jesus' name, in his thoughts and his thinking toward himself, toward others, and where he can be a more outgoing, in Jesus' name, and socially able to, have fun and enjoy himself in Jesus' name. Amen. And break the fears, God, that tries to hinder him, and open up the door of faith and friendship in his life, in Jesus' name, where he can walk in friendship and fellowship with people. He can actually fellowship with people in friendship in a beautiful new way. Amen. So he can a new life, God, in Jesus' name. New friends, new everything. All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please?
Jeff and
Yuki's back.
Yuki, it's about time, man. We were coming looking for you. I guarantee it. I was just about to send out the police. The international police.
I just told Jeff to call you right away.
All right. Well,
she told me to call in 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, y'all better straighten up quick. Or we're going to come over there, wherever you're at. We're going to find you. And something like that. Anyway, hey, good to have you back. All right, this is great. Awesome. All right, Yuke is back. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Yuke, God. We thank you, Jesus, for Yuke, God. We thank you, Lord, for all the opening up, God, of their minds, opening up their mind to new ways, new things, to new ways of thinking about how doors open and how they close, and how things happen and how they don't happen. and the wealth of information. Sometimes it's not just about what we learned that's right. It's about the things we learned that don't work. You know, the guy who invented the light bulb, you know, he found 1,000 different ways that didn't work before he found the ways that it would work. And so, you know, God is merciful. God is gracious. Faith is not perfect. We just don't go out there. You know, even Jesus learned obedience to the things he suffered. You know, so we suffer things sometimes. It's not bad. It's painful because suffering means painful. It's painful to not, you know, do it right the first time every time. Because that's, you know, I don't know anybody that, even Jesus didn't do it right the first time. Right? He didn't sin, but he didn't do it right the first time either because he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He learned obedience. In other words, he was disobedient, not sinful disobedient, but he learned obedience through the things he suffered. So he learned how to, oh, yeah, when it sounds like that, that's God. When it doesn't sound like that, it's not God. I thought it was before. When I hear that sound, that one there, mark that one off. That was not God. This one here, this is. So, you know, thank you, Lord, for the light bulb guy. We have his example because everybody uses their lights. Everybody uses the light bulb. Everybody, I mean, it's a thing. The whole world uses it. And yet the things he went through to get there were just excruciating and took a lot of perseverance and a lot of patience and a lot of time. And when he came up with the product, you know, it was amazing. It was beautiful. It was powerful. Still being used today. Lord, I thank you for showing Jeff and you call that God that you're doing a work, God, and that it's going somewhere. Even the things that we find out that don't work, it's part of the process. It's not like, oh, God, I'm not hearing from God. No, it's like you're working the process. The kingdom of God is a process. And so when we work that process and we do it, you know, we listen to our, you know, things that didn't work. We go, okay, mark that off. Like he did. He didn't put a wire in there just right to make the light bulb work. Too little, too thin, too thick, too whatever, too long, too narrow, too something. The bulb's not, you know, whatever enough. It's not sealed right. And he took from one thing to the other until he got it. And then when he got it, hallelujah, he got it. So I thank you, Lord, that they got it. They get it. They got it. They're getting it. It's happening in Jesus' name because your glory is upon them, God, to get it done, to get the job done. And the wealth of wisdom is, like I said, it's not just everything that we do right. It's the things that we found out that didn't work. Amen. Just like the guy, Edison, who the light bulb thing. He had a wealth of wisdom, you know. Like every time I invent something, I start out with one thing, you know, and when I get through with it, it doesn't even look anything like it started out with. Maybe not even materials is the same, but I had to start working it. Well, thank you, Lord, for the work of God, that we're working it, that we're learning obedience to the things we suffer. And once we learn, then it works. It starts working. Let them work the works of God. In Jesus' name, with the favor of the Lord on them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right. All right, 214-434, who may I talk to you from, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you pray for Kimberly and Derek?
Absolutely, Kimberly. All right, good day. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Kimberly, God. Thank you, Father, for working a work in their day that if you'd have told them. It's like if sometimes God was to tell us, you know, things that are ahead, we wouldn't believe it anyway. Sometimes that's why he doesn't do it. You know, like even the Bible says, I'm going to work in your day that if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. And it literally is true sometimes. Sometimes God knows that we're not going to, it's going to be hard to believe things. So he just kind of, you know, puts a little here, a little there. And so I think you look for planting seeds, for teaching Kimberly how to plant seeds of thought, seeds of understanding, seeds of, you know, that you're learning. She's learning. When you're learning and growing in a relationship, like you and Derek, when you're learning and growing, it's going to work. It's going to happen. It's going to work because you're learning and you're growing. Like Derek, learning and growing. You guys learn how to learn. You learn how to dwell together. You know, we got to dwell together. We got to learn how to dwell together. People have to learn how to dwell together. And if we're learning, we're growing, it's going to happen. Right? If we're not learning and growing, of course, it's going to be more difficult. We're going to go around the mountain a bunch of times. So I thank you, Lord, that they're learning, they're growing. Every time they do something, they're learning from it, they're growing from it. And therefore, every time they get a little closer, to unite them, Father, in that right way, in that beautiful way, in Jesus' name, Lord, let that come forth, Father. Give Kimberly the wisdom how to learn, how to ask the right questions, ask God the right questions. Because when we ask the right questions, we get God hears us. When we don't, The Bible says in 1 John 5:4 that he doesn't, if we don't pray according to his will, he doesn't even hear us. So thank you, Lord, for that, that you're hearing them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And teaching them how to learn, how to grow. Right? Yeah, people grow together. They don't just snap together. They grow together. Amen. Like a graft. It grows into your skin. It has to connect. And it has to fit. And it has to work. Amen. Thank you for that in their lives, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Kimberly Derrick, thank you very much. All right, anybody else want prayer tonight? Get the hand up there. It's 11:25, 11:26. So if you want prayer, I'm going to give a few minutes. If nobody puts their hand up, I'm going to move on. Call tonight. All right, so get that hand up there. I'll be right back. All right, everyone, we're going to call tonight. No more hands up. So, see you tomorrow night. Love you guys. Bye-bye.